Well, I'm so thankful for our worship team and what a wonderful song they just closed with. After such a wonderful song, I almost feel bad about starting my sermon with the question I'm starting with, a question you might be surprised to hear from a pastor on Easter Sunday. It's the question, what if Jesus did not rise again? Every year, millions of Muslims visit the tomb of their prophet Muhammad in Medina, Saudi Arabia. What if Christians did the same for Jesus? What if we took a pilgrimage to visit a tomb outside of Jerusalem, a tomb where Jesus was still buried? What would that mean for Christians who believe in Christ? I already hear some of the answers. Some of you have been reading ahead. We don't have to wonder, because Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells us just what it would mean in 1 Corinthians 15. I'll have the verses up here. You can turn there with me if you'd like. First, it would mean pointless preaching. You could go ahead and just plug your ears right now. You don't have to listen to me up here if that were true. If Christ was still buried in that tomb. Pointless preaching. 1 Corinthians 15, 14 says, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. It would mean your faith in Christ and His word is absolutely worthless. Yeah. Useless faith. Verse 14 says, your faith is in vain. Verse 17, he says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It would mean we're guilty, I'm guilty of dishonest teaching. He says in verse 15, we're even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. I tell you all the time, Christ is raised. Paul's saying, if He's not, I'm a liar. If you told someone that, you're a liar. If He's still buried. Listen, Jesus said repeatedly to His disciples, if you look through the Gospels, that He would rise from the dead.
Amen.
If He lied about that, why would you trust Him about anything else? Why would you trust Him about anything else? If He's still buried, guess what? You and I are still dead in our sin. Even if you're a believer, if He's still buried, you're still dead in your sin. 17 says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Your sins are not forgiven. You have no victory over those sins. You're in just as bad a shape as you were before you believed, if Christ is not raised. He goes on, dead believers have perished. You know believers who have perished? Died. He says they've perished. Verse 18, those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And in the Bible, to perish does not mean the cessation of being. Because everybody lives eternally, biblically, in one of two places. Either the lake of fire or with God in Christ. In that new Jerusalem and the new earth. Perish doesn't mean annihilation. Greek scholar Vine says it means loss of well-being or ruin. And there is no more ultimate ruin than that eternity in the lake of fire. He says if Christ is not raised, even believers who have died, that's where they're headed. You have only a temporary hope if He's not raised. Verse 19, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we're of all people most to be pitied. Pity on us. What fools we are. Why you come out on Sunday morning? Why you go out there telling people about Jesus when they mock you? You're a fool if your hope's only for this life and Christ is not raised. Lastly, suffering you go through in this life is all meaningless. If Christ is still in that tomb. Paul speaks of some persecution he went through in verse 32 of that chapter. He says, what do I gain? If humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If this life is all there is and Christ is not raised, why sacrifice for him? Do what you feel. What a hopeless, bleak, dark world it would be, even for believers, if Jesus didn't rise again. Thankfully, what we're here to celebrate this morning is a whole lot more than flowers and birdies. As wonderful as those are, we're here to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Luke 24, 5 and 6. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you? 1 Corinthians 15, the same chapter we're in already. Earlier in that chapter, verse 3, Paul tells him, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared. And he goes on to talk about many appearances to more than 500. And this was at a time when many of those witnesses would still be alive. If anyone could go to that tomb and produce the body, now's the time, but nobody could. There were witnesses still alive that he'd appeared to. And listen, the fact that Christ is risen, you know what that means? It means nothing is hopeless for the one who puts their faith in him. Nothing, no matter how dark it gets in your life, is hopeless in this world.
Amen.
It's Christ has risen from the dead. Just watch the difference unfold up here. Our preaching goes from pointless to powerful. You remember what Paul said in Romans 1:16? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Why? For it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is powerful because Jesus is alive. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, he writes to that church and he says, we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, these aren't just words on a page, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction.
Amen.
That gospel rocked their world. Why? Because Christ rose, ascended to the Father, and sent the Holy Spirit who went to work in this church, bringing his word to life in their lives. We go from useless faith to practical faith. Since Christ is alive, faith, trusting, reliance in Christ and his word, it's how it starts. It's how we receive salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works. Does somebody here think you're getting into heaven because you've done good works? Not what Paul says. Not a result of works, by grace. God's free, undeserved gift. You've been saved through faith. That's some practical faith. It's also, believer, how we are to walk with him. You know what 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says? We walk by faith, not by sight. When all of our senses tell us something different than what this says, we walk by faith. We take him at his word. It's how we do his will on this earth. Matthew 17, 20, Jesus said to his disciples, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, I said it's how we do God's will on this earth. That's important. Doesn't mean anything you imagine you can go do. You probably heard it said you can go stand on the top of the Empire Building and work up some kind of weird belief that you can fly and then jump off and we'll plan a service for you. It's how we do His will according to His word. It's also how we protect ourselves from the flaming darts of the evil one. Ephesians 6:16, Paul says, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." It's very practical because Christ is risen. We go from dishonest teaching. Every time you share the gospel, every time you share something from here, you can know you are declaring the truth.
Amen.
You're declaring the truth. Listen, because He kept His word, in the hardest thing, coming back from the dead, you can trust every word He says. Every word. We can and should devote ourselves to His truth in light of that, right? That's what He told Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Do your best to know this and share it accurately. Plus, listen, the truth we declare about Jesus brings results in the lives of those we proclaim it to when they trust in Him. Look at Ephesians 1:13. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Because Christ is risen, the believer moves from dead in sin to alive in Christ. Alive in Christ. Romans 6:10, the death He died to sin once for all. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives, He's talking about Christ, He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Did you know that's what's true of you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ? And here He says you've got to wake up every morning and reckon that to be the case. Because only when you know it and believe in it that you begin to walk in it. You are a new creation. Because He's alive, believer, your sins are forgiven, blotted out, and you're no longer a slave to sin. Is there still a battle every time the temptation comes? Oh, yeah. You still have a flesh you battle with, but the Holy Spirit now lives in you. You have the means to victory in Him every time. Every time. Dead believers have not perished. They're with Christ.
Amen.
That ministers to some of you this morning. Some of you remember Easter's past with loved ones who trusted in Christ who have passed away. They've not perished. They're with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul says, "We are of good courage and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." He knew when he's away from this body and he dies, he's going to be with the Lord. Or how about Philippians 1:21? He says to live is Christ and to die is gain. Why would he say to die is gain? Who talks like that? He says, "I'm hard pressed between the two, living, dying." Who talks like that? Why? He says, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." Oh, he knew what's coming for him. He knew. I think of that tug of war, and I think of our brother Jason right now. He knows that. There's a part of him that wants to stay here with his family, but he also knows what's coming. That's why he said, "I'm ready. I'm ready to be with Jesus." 1 Corinthians 15:55. "Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How about this next one? From temporary hope to eternal hope. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Not a dead hope, it's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope because we have a risen Lord. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Somebody walking through a valley right now, some believer needs to hear that. Hang on. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And because Christ is risen, suffering in the life of the believer moves from meaningless suffering to purposeful suffering. Amen. The believer in Jesus Christ can trust that everything in his life, her life, works together for good. Romans 8, 28, we know that for those who love God, this is not true of those who do not love God. This is not true of those who don't trust in Christ. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Doesn't mean all things are good. Doesn't mean God was even the direct author of all those things. But he's going to work them all out in the end for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. We also know whatever suffering we're going through, believers in Christ, it's not the end. As I said, the best is yet to come. 2 Corinthians 4. We don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away. Anybody want to say amen to that? I was sore 4 days after that kickball game we had at the church. That's minor compared to some things, but I'm aware I'm getting older. That I asked our teenager, are you sore? No. Our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
Amen.
The best is yet to come. And also, how many of you, when you go through a valley, one of the main things you want is someone faithful to walk with you?
Amen.
To not be alone. And sometimes that's hard to find in this world. So I can tell you, the believer in Jesus Christ is never alone. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? That's quite a list. And those are the kind of things that when they come, the enemy comes. God checked out somewhere along the way. He's not watching over you anymore, right? It's not what God's word says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall these things? No. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Everybody suffers in this world.
Amen.
You don't have to suffer alone. You place your faith and trust in the risen Christ. Lastly, if you're persecuted for him, for being faithful for him, you can count on a reward to come. Luke 6:22 says, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Why? For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. Kids in school, you talk to your unsaved or skeptical friends about Christ and they mock you, rejoice.
Amen.
You got a reward coming. And we could go on up the list. Listen, this month, you may have read, there's an American pastor from Tennessee who went to South Africa with his wife and children to share the gospel with the Xhosa people. He was at his pulpit, if you can imagine, kidnapped at gunpoint, at his pulpit. Thankfully returned safely later. Was it worth it? Or are he and his family a bunch of fools? The resurrection of our crucified Lord says, you bet it was worth it. You bet it was worth it. Or even heavier, you may have heard on February 13th this year, 70 Christians in Congo were found beheaded in their church building. Was that the end for them? Oh no. They have a reward coming, and you can bet they knew that. That's why they kept worshiping in the face of that darkness. So look at the list up here. What a contrast from where we began. Some of you are wondering, where's this message going? Oh, what a difference the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes. Amen?
Amen.
Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, nothing, not even the darkest that this world throws our way, is meaningless or pointless or hopeless for the one who puts their faith in Him. Christ is risen. I got to tell you something as we close today. He is still working today.
Amen.
He's still working today. On Thursday, April 10th, a couple shared with me about some deep pain and brokenness in their lives. It's the kind of pain that you don't just shake off or ignore. The kind that causes some to end their marriages. The kind of pain that causes some to take their lives. As we talked on April 10th, the conversation came around to Jesus Christ. You know what they told me? So we're not ready. After all they'd been through, they had some trust issues. They were still searching. That's what they told me. And I appreciated their honesty. Pain like theirs raises a lot of hard questions. Maybe you're there today. Many were praying for them. I want you to fast forward a week to this Thursday, April 17th. They said, we're ready.
Amen.
And they prayed to receive Christ by faith and want to be baptized on May 18th. Can we give God some praise, please? Come on. Ever wonder what the risen Christ is up to?
Amen.
He's still overcoming Satan, giving rest to the weary, breaking chains and bringing abundant life. And I want to tell you, that couple sitting here today,
Amen.
They've been coming to this church for a couple months, and the husband wants to come down and share in his own words how God's been working. If you would, let's welcome Mike. Mike of Mike and Shannon.
Please forgive me. Public speaking is not my forte. For years, I carried a heavy burden of anger that stemmed from childhood, marked by physical, verbal, and sexual abuse. This seeped into my adult life and affected my marriage and my relationship with my kids. My parents were young when they had me, and they weren't ready for kids. My own father attempted to kill me when I was 18 months old. And my mom was physically abusive until I was 14. Then she turned verbal. Through this, I knew I needed something bigger than myself. So I reached out. Found a church, started going to church, and in that church, I experienced abuse. I was sexually molested by the youth pastor, and it soured me for life on church. I struggled My whole life was suicidal thoughts. Found myself at every instance reacting with rage. Yeah. Uncontrollable rage. Feeling unloved, unworthy. Years of taking this insecurity out of my wife. She asked for a separation, was seeking legal advice and divorce. In a rare moment of calm between us, I was flipping through Netflix and I found the movie The Forge. I sat through and watched that movie almost in tears, something crying out saying I needed that support, that outlet. We started talking and she's like, I know people at work. Let me get in contact with them. So she gave me Jason's number. We started chatting. He invited me to church, to men's group. I invited my wife to come because I've never felt so open and gracious, welcomed into church before. My wife also struggles with her own problems. She's lost children. We both knew we needed something bigger.
Amen.
We know it's going to be a hard-fought battle. We reached out to Scott to help us, to give us the tools. He gave us some of the hardest homework ever. I had to write down everything I have ever done or said to my wife to hurt her. Look her in the face and ask for forgiveness. Sitting there writing that down, it hurt me. But we both knew afterwards that there would be light at the end of the tunnel. We met with Pastor Scott. We asked Jesus into our lives to forgive our sins. And we're here today. Stronger.
Amen. Praise God. I hope y'all give them both a warm welcome today. If you haven't met them yet, give them a big hug. Welcome to the family, brother.
Amen.
Thank you. You said you weren't a good public speaker. That must have been the Holy Spirit then, because God just spoke right through you. I want to say a couple things that Mike told me this week that just pushed me over the top. We've been celebrating our family, and one of the things he said was, he said, I'm over 50 years old, and I've never really lived. And I told him, that's all about to change.
Amen.
I told him, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus came that we might have life abundantly. He texted me just yesterday. This is a couple days after Thursday. He said this. He said, first time I felt joy probably ever. He said, I've been on the verge of crying since Thursday. And I think about what he said. I'm over 50 years old. And I've never really lived. And I want to ask all you, no matter how old you are, have you ever really lived? Not just breathing, existing, but have you found that abundant life through faith in the crucified and risen Jesus Christ? That's why we're here as a church, to share that above all else.
Amen.
Have you? Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Somebody here today laboring, weary? He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. And I think about that labor, and I think some of it comes from a false teaching in almost every religion out there, every religion except faith in Jesus Christ, that says, do, 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 do. Earn your way to heaven. The trouble with that is you can't. Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So it's an endless hamster wheel. No wonder people are weary. By grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Listen, 1 Peter 2:24 tells us where to look for the forgiveness, for the relationship with God, for eternity with Him instead of the lake of fire. 1 Peter 2:24, look to the cross. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree. Take a moment and think of the darkest moment in your life. Action, thought, word. And understand that it was on Christ, on that cross. He bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you've been healed. When He shouted like a lion from that cross, "It is finished." Amen. That Greek word is tetelestai. Can mean paid in full. It was used on receipts at that time at the market. You pay your bill, paid in full, tetelestai, it is finished. There is no more price to be paid. The only question is, will you receive the gift that He purchased at great cost? He died, was buried, and rose again. But before that resurrection, He said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then He asked her a question that I want to leave you with this morning. Do you believe this?
Amen.
Your answer to that question is the difference to whether you spend eternity with Him or the lake of fire, to whether you have relationship with God or walk this life alone and separated from Him. If you don't know or you're ready to take that step, there's going to be folks at these tables right over here when the final song starts. They would love nothing more than to pray with you and point you to Jesus Christ. They're there if you have any kind of prayer need as well. But don't leave here without knowing. Listen, I want to close saying something I've said in the middle. The fact that Christ is risen from the dead means absolutely nothing is hopeless for the one who puts their faith in Him. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you that as Christians, we're not visiting a tomb where you're still buried. You're at the hand of your Father interceding for us. You sent the Holy Spirit, and you're not done yet. You're still working to redeem and heal and give rest and give salvation. And I pray that you'd help us as a church to rest in that. If we're a believer in Jesus Christ, there's some believers battling the enemy this week. Rest in the truth that you are alive in Christ, a new creation. But as we rest, may we go out and work in the power of the Spirit as well. There are others out there who need this good news. You use people in this church praying for Mike and Shannon. You used people in this church going into their lives and meeting with them. And we each have people out there that we're called to. Don't just let us rest and enjoy it in here. Let us go like those women went to the disciples, and then like those disciples went and turned the world upside down, because there's a risen King. It's for you we live. May you be glorified in our lives, Father. Thank you for the crucified and risen Lord. Thank you for sending your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.